Hello, everybody. Welcome to Big Dog Ball Talk. I'm your host, Matt Acorn, with my good friend, Jordan Flegel.
Is that the millennial pause? Is that what it's called? I guess no one hears our clap, but yeah, for the benefit of the listeners, we do a little clap as we start things off. Matt does a pause.
Clap Jordan's cheeks. Wait, yes. That's unprofessional. Pause. Let's back this up. Let's start it over. 3, 2, 1. Hey,
sorry,
everybody.
I didn't clap. Start it again, Alex.
Jordan Flegel. Okay, hold on. 3, 2, 1. Matt Acorn.
Just roll with
Jordan Flegel. Big Dog Ball Talk. We got a great show for everybody this week. Trying to keep it professional. It's not going to last. For anyone who's been listening to the podcast, we are truly the bad boys of the NBA podcasting world. That's why nobody even dares to listen to us on a regular basis. If you're a casual listener, you better start getting back to a two episodes minimum per week, like we are uploading. So be sure to be on the lookout for that. We got lots to break down today, Jordan. Tons and tons of trade rumors coming up as we are right in the thick of trade season. I believe it's February 6th. Next week is the NBA trade deadline. We better fucking get some, man. We've been previewing trades for like a month straight, and I feel like we haven't gotten anything other than fucking Nick Richards getting traded to the Suns. So yes. I'd like to see a little bit more action, some bigger names involved, and let's really shake things up. And to kind of get into it, Jordan, let's start with the biggest name right now. I think it's even bigger than the other guy we're going to talk about that we've already spoken about a little bit here. But the Sacramento Kings, kind of out of nowhere a little bit. Like we discussed it in passing on the podcast this season. But now it seems like it's pretty much official, coming from Shams, that the Sacramento Kings are looking to move De'Aaron Fox, as he's not intending to sign an extension next season. When it comes to an end, he's going to test the free agency market, see what his value is, which, I mean, for a guy like him, probably a good call. I can't blame him. He's also a clutch sports guy, so you already know that he's going to be fucking around. He's going to get paid out the wazoo. Even though he's already paying pretty good money. But De'Aaron Fox on the trade market for the Sacramento Kings, Jordan. Obviously, another layer to this excitement is we have our $50 annual wager on whether the Kings will make the playoffs or not. You have them to make it. I don't. And right now they're 10th in the Western Conference, a game and a half ahead of the Golden State Warriors, nipping at their heels here. If they move De'Aaron Fox, I mean, it's a weird time for them to make a move like this. Like we've said, it's such a jumble there in the Western Conference. They're only two games behind the LA Clippers there to be out of the play-in and just into that top six in the West. Like, if you move De'Aaron Fox, like we said with Mike Brown, things were probably going to be going sour after that firing, and they actually rallied and have been playing better since firing him, surprisingly. But, I mean, you could argue De'Aaron Fox is their best player. I think we probably are both in the camp that Sabonis is, but, I mean, it's definitely the argument to make. But yeah, if you're moving De'Aaron Fox, I feel like it's going to be really hard to get a package back that is going to make you equally as competitive right now. And with the Western Conference as competitive as it is, I feel like this might be that final nail in the coffin for the Kings season.
No, don't say that, Matt. That's what you want.
I mean, last
time
I helped you, you do want me to say that.
That is true. I mean, it does feel kind of crazy timing that this is picked back up now, because it felt like it was. But before, when you talked about it like a month ago or whenever it was, felt like it was just a lot of speculation because of the Mike Brown thing. Now this, the fact that it's concrete and it sounds like they are looking to deal him. It's like I just want to know mainly who sort of kicked things off. Like, was it De'Aaron Fox saying, no, I definitely don't see a future here. Like, I don't want to sign. Or is the Kings being like, okay, look, we don't necessarily want to give this guy, a max. We don't fully believe in him or something like that that broke the relationship down. Because I can't help but think about the Tyrese Haliburton trade and the fact that the Kings bet a lot on De'Aaron Fox and bet a lot on De'Aaron Fox being there for, the long term. So the fact that they're already now a few years later, thinking about moving him is a crazy turn of events. Because, you can say what you want. You can quibble and say, if he was a max deserving type of player, he would lead this team, to a better record than they're at now, like better, more successful seasons, more than just the one playoff appearance there. But still, like, this is one of the best players Sacramento's had in God knows how long, probably since the early 2000s when they had good teams. So I think it's kind of crazy that they're, you know, unless it's fully coming from his side being like, I really, really don't want to be here. I just find it crazy. I mean, it's exciting for the trade landscape and the fact that he could potentially join another contender or like bubble team. And I'm sure we'll get into that, but I'm just shocked because not only all of what I just said, I mean, you just signed DeMar DeRozan, like you just went kind of went to a vet, you know, who's probably overpaid for what he brings to the table at this point. But, you know, he's a guy who, you know, was supposed to help you win now. And I just, I don't really know where you go from here. Cause if you trade away, like you're saying, if you trade away De'Aaron Fox, I don't see you being competitive, or at least as competitive this year, no matter what happens. And then going forward, it's like Domas is still there. You got Keegan Murray. It's sort of unclear what his ceiling is going to be at this point. They're just going to become a very middling team, I think. So I'm surprised they're going this route rather than, you know, trying to re-up, trying to do something else to tweak this team to make it a winner. Cause it felt like that was the mode that they're in. So this feels like a crazy gear change, out of nowhere for me.
Yeah. And I do think that obviously that disappointing start to the year, probably kind of, that this was the downhill, you know, spiral of whatever the snowball effect of how things have gone with the Kings this season. And I think it's just kind of gotten to the point it's so big that now we're wrapping into De'Aaron Fox likely going to be, you know, moved within the next 7 days, which is a crazy reality that we may be living in. And from what like I've seen from any reports I've been able to dig up from any other insiders or writers close to the team, pretty much my understanding is that it was, you know, the Kings wanted to lock him up, you know, further down the road, since he's on the second last year of his deal. Next year, he'll be a free agent, unrestricted. So they wanted to get him on an extension. He didn't want to sign the extension. He wanted to wait till his contract was up to, you know, test his value and everything. So I think they're pretty much kind of thinking there's no fucking point if, you know, because he's, you know, just Sacramento, not exactly known as the hottest free agent destination, even though you are, you know, a California-based team. You are always going to get picked. You're tertiary, you know, fuck, man, you're the fourth option. Yeah. People would rather go to the Clippers, the Warriors, and of course the Lakers than Sacramento, unfortunately. And that's just kind of the reality of it. So for all those SoCal locations, they just don't quite, they're not up to snuff. So I think that they're already kind of just banking that, you know, he's going to get a big godfather offer somewhere else that is a little more, you know, sexy, more attractive to him, and, you know, he'll ditch them. So they're just kind of, again, they're panicking. And I think that that's not really a smart move. Cause De'Aaron Fox is, you know, you could argue, a top 10, I would think comfortably say a top 15 guard in the NBA right now, depending on who you ask. So it's crazy to me that, you know, he would be on the market right now. The one thing I can think of that at least is good in this situation for Sacramento is that you did sign DeMar DeRozan, and, you know, he's been playing the three, but his natural position is the two. He's been playing the three for a long time in his kind of old man ball days. But, you know, if you do end up moving him, I don't know, Malik Monk, he's been passing the ball pretty well. Maybe you give him a chance to run the offense. Maybe Devin Carter, you know, the rookie gets to slide in there and get some heavy minutes here. Or, you know, maybe you get a solid starting point guard return for, you know, whoever is able to make that trade with you. But I do think this is a really weird one. Like, we're going to talk about Jimmy Butler right after this. That one makes sense. This one is, it just seems like poor timing. And to kind of dive into even some of the more details that have come out, it seems like the Nets right now are one of the front runners, since, you know, they're going to have their entire team is going to be gone 2 years from now. So if they can get him, they are going to have tons of money to offer. But apparently De'Aaron Fox is top destination, Jordan, and it's already happening. We said it was going to. San Antonio Spurs. He wants to play with Wemby. He sees the sees the motion. He sees the idea here, and he wants to be paired up with him. And that would be a hell of a combo, Fox and the alien. And of course, Jordan, we wouldn't be doing our trade talk without some hypothetical trades. I don't know if you've gotten any here, Jordan, but I've got a couple.
It's all you. It's all you.
I've got them. So the first one here, and I'll throw it out there for the Brooklyn Nets. And this one, they could throw even more picks. There's a lot more they could do. And it, unfortunately, like it would be nice if they could have thrown D'Angelo Russell into the mix. But since he's already been traded, he's not going to become eligible, I don't believe, by next week's deadline. So they can't make the D'Lo swap. So in this trade, and again, this is not to say he's going to be starting at point guard as the replacement, because I think it would be a goddamn awful fit on the Kings. But, you know, maybe you get Ben Simmons to make the money work for De'Aaron Fox. And then you get the Knicks 2025 and 2027 first-round picks unprotected. And then you get also the Brooklyn Nets 2025, this year's unprotected first-round pick for De'Aaron Fox. You get three first-round picks. That's Ben Simmons, who's also – this is the last year – this is the last year of that big deal. So that's $40 million off the books at the end of the season as well. So if you want to go out and free agency and
Ben?
Spend some money. Yeah.
For Simmons? Yeah. Okay. I was going to ask. He's an expiring.
Yeah. So at least you're not fucking handcuffed to Ben Simmons like many other teams have been at this point with that deal. And then, yeah, the Nets get De'Aaron Fox. They've still got him for the rest of this season. And then, you know, next year when they kind of want to, you know, see what they can do. I think they would maybe be weary to give up, obviously, their first round pick this year, since, you know, they're right in the mix for Cooper Flagg, Amari Bailey, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey. There's quite a few big name prospects out there that are up in the air. So they might not want to make that one, but I do think that, you know, they'd have to throw in they've got a lot of first round picks at their disposal. Shout out to the New York Knicks for that. But they can mix it up. But yeah, lots of first round picks. Ben Simmons for De'Aaron Fox.
You know, is Ben Simmons the only player going back? It's just straight up and then draft cap.
That's the only one, because then you get that $40 million. You can shed the cap because they don't really have. Honestly, they don't like you could, if you wanted, you could maybe try and get Keon Johnson or Noah Clowney or someone like that. Their deals aren't worth much. But again, the crazy thing. Like, Ben Simmons is getting paid $6 million more per year than De'Aaron Fox. So you're actually taking money in just for the season, just, you know, for the numbers' sake, if you're the Kings. And then, yeah, he's off the books. And then you probably kick him to the curb and he'll go play in the NBL. But, yeah, that's it's just Ben Simmons in my hypothetical that I had drawn up here.
Hey, I love it. You know, if you could convince the Nets to give up, for instance, this year's first round pick or one of their unprotecteds down the line. I think dealing with a team like the Nets is kind of your dream scenario if you're the Kings, because they do have so many picks that they can send back your way. And I think honestly that's what you would want in a case like this. Like I don't, like you said right off the top, I do not see any scenario in my mind where you're trading out De'Aaron Fox and you're somehow getting better this year or even staying at the same level. Like I don't know who what package would get you that. So if you're pivoting then to saying, okay, we're doing this, we're going to bite the bullet and we're just going to get the best draft haul that we can get, then Brooklyn is probably the best or one of the best teams you can be dealing with. I'm fine at this point, no matter what the team is, since it is expiring, I'm totally fine taking on Ben Simmons. Like there's no risk there, and actually it's pretty clean and nice to have that much money come off the books wrapped up in just one guy. So if you felt like the picks were juicy enough and you're Sacramento and you wanted to go down that route, I would say this is a pretty good one. And then on the Brooklyn side, it's like I don't really know what that does for your team this year. I think it would be a sort of play for, down the line. But if I don't know why I'm doing that if I'm Brooklyn, though, because like you're still a few years away of meaningfully and purposely tanking, I think, unless you think,
how they like to do it there. They like to just go and get these guys through trades. But all they've done since they've moved to Brooklyn.
I know. It's been crazy. You're right. This would be a very Joe Tsai and Brooklyn thing to do. But, unless you're going to say, okay, we're going to thread the needle here. We're going to test our luck. We're going to go down and maybe get Cooper Flagg. And then we have this incredible sort of backcourt, frontcourt duo going forward. Still, though, Cooper Flagg is a fucking teenager. De'Aaron Fox, people are acting like De'Aaron Fox is super young. He's 27. It's not like he's 24 or even 25 or 26. Like, he's at a completely different point in his career than any of these young guys that the Nets would be getting through the draft, which is what they need to build up anyway. So yeah, I don't.
The guy had a legitimate college beef with Lonzo Ball.
Yes, exactly. And I, for the record, I always liked De'Aaron Fox better than Lonzo Ball, even though Lonzo, he's been great as well, obviously. I don't know if I like it from the Brooklyn perspective, but hey, if you're Sacramento and you're looking for picks, this is a good one.
Well, to move on to the other team that he's rumoredly would like to go to, his top destination, the San Antonio Spurs. I think this one, in my opinion, this might be my favorite one of all the mock trades I do have, because I have a couple other here that I just drew up of teams I think should get in the sweepstakes. This one I think is great. So to the Spurs, you're getting De'Aaron Fox, and you're also getting Trey Lyles. So you're getting a nice rotational piece there, solid, power forward, big man. In exchange, you get Devin Vassell, Chris Paul, the Hawks 2025 and 2027 first round pick, and then the Spurs 2026 first round pick.
Hey, I like this. Hey, maybe I'll have to sort of rethink. Oh, you're not going to get anyone back if you're Sacramento that can help you, because you got the point guard Chris Paul, who always takes every team to the finals. So maybe Sacramento.
Hey, I think he'd fit pretty well on that team.
I think he would. I mean, he'd play a role, and you've got Vassell in there. Who's the third guy too?
CP, no one. Vassell, it was just three first round picks. Just Vassell and Chris Paul.
Okay. Well, Vassell would be a useful shooter for Sacramento. That's the one thing that he does bring. The pick haul, that's pretty decent. Again, like Sacramento, the fact that this news is out right now and now every team in the league knows what's happening, that does really hurt their leverage. In terms of getting on the phone with a team and convincing them to just empty their whole war chest. Like the whole thing now, and that's the thing, you know, when we have this fucking way that these things get leaked and you have camps Fox's camp, I'm sure, sort of leaking this stuff strategically to Shams and things like that. Like it's going to be out there which team he wants to go to. And if you're that team, why would you give up every fucking thing that you have to get him when you know that you could pretty easily get him down the line? So, you could say like, oh shit, that you deserve more draft compensation than that for De'Aaron Fox. But if you're the Kings, you don't have all that much leverage right now. So I think all things considered, that's pretty good to get three. And then, a couple serviceable players that you could use down the line. Like you could talk yourself into Vassell being a nice sort of fit next to Keegan Murray. You get a lot of young kind of shooting talent. Chris Paul, just to sort of fill in that point guard role for the rest of the year. So I think that's pretty decent from the Sacramento side of things. San Antonio, again, I totally understand the excitement of a De'Aaron Fox Wemby thing, but he's not the complete ideal guy that I would want next to him. Like I would want someone a little bit younger, if I'm team building for the Spurs, because again, a 27 year old versus Victor, who I think is 20 or 19 or whatever. I understand that Victor is ready to win now, and I've made that argument here on this podcast, like get some help around him immediately. He's already one of the best players in the world. I get that, but you're still going to run into a situation down the line in a few years, especially if you lock up Fox on quite a big deal, whatever he's expecting here, where he's going to see a decline, and then you're going to be sort of stuck in this, thing where it's going to be, this big contract that he's not necessarily going to be living up to. I also don't like necessarily the sort of defense that De'Aaron Fox brings every night. Like I think he's fine on that end. I don't think he's like a Trae Young level, like weak link, but I'd like someone who plays a little bit more both sides of the ball. At the same time, if you're the Spurs and you see this opportunity to go and do this, and give Victor some real sort of point guard help, going forward for the next few years and the price isn't too steep, I get it, because offensively having De'Aaron Fox, run that pick and roll with his speed, with his vision, playing next to Wemby, that would be a pretty scary sight.
Well, and here's the thing that I think too, like I get why De'Aaron Fox wants to go there, but like his play style also just even offensively doesn't, I don't think, complement Wemby's current skill set.
Not particularly, like, I don't think.
If he was like a traditional 7'2" guy down low in the paint that he could just run a pick and roll with and nobody could stop it, like that would be great. And maybe in a season or so we'll get to that point. But right now, like Wemby is a ball dominant, high post kind of guy, you know, pick and pop type of player. De'Aaron Fox doesn't really work with a guy like that. I think that his downhill speed and ability really is what dictates it. He's obviously improved on that 3-point shot, but like, I don't think it's enough to
32% this year.
Yeah, I don't think it's enough to make guys, you know, have to. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be pressing up on him to, you know, give you space to dump it down to Wemby. Like, guys are probably going to take a step back and they're going to make sure that you can't. Yeah, you can't throw that in there for him. So I get why he wants to go there, but I don't think that he, if you're the Spurs, if you're looking to find that franchise point guard to pair next to your, you know, sensational franchise cornerstone, I do think that maybe you want to look a little bit elsewhere. And you can always try it out, see how it goes. But I agree. I'm not super stoked about that on the Spurs side of things. But yeah, for the Kings, in this hypothetical, it really is just to get that draft capital. Maybe Vassell turns into an okay player. I'm kind of out on him at this point. And then you get Chris Paul. So, like, you know, this year, if you want to just fucking say, screw it, let's see if we can get into the playoffs. You know, you at least have a chance now with Chris Paul, him and Sabonis moving the rock. Like, it would be some nice basketball. But, don't think that they would be contending for any titles anytime soon. But, Jordan, I got three other hypothetical trades, and I'll bounce them off you quickly here. The first one is a team that I believe De'Aaron Fox has already said his camp has said they aren't going to be moving him with. But again, he's a clutch sports guy, so I find this hard to believe. But let's say the LA Lakers want to get in there, Jordan. They need a point guard. They want a guy like him. De'Aaron Fox goes to the Lakers in exchange for Rui Hachimura, Gabe Vincent, Dalton Connect, Christian Wood, a 2025 second round pick, and the Lakers' 2031 unprotected first-round pick. They have no picks to give up. They can't give up more than two first-round picks, or else that breaks the Stipian rule, however you pronounce it.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, you can't have the two consecutive picks traded away, first-round picks. But that 2031, LeBron's going to be gone. Who the hell knows where AD will be? I think that 2031 Lakers pick might actually be worth something. Absolutely. And then, and then you get Christian Wood, who, you know, he could probably give you minutes. The Lakers hate him for some reason. Gabe Vincent, solid defensive point guard. Yeah. I don't know why. Rui Hachimura, another guy, signed for 2 years. Pretty good contract, $17 million a year for a guy like that. He could potentially even be a starter. And then you get Dalton Connect, who, you know, a bit of an older rookie, but has shown this season that, you know, he's a hooper. He's had some flashes here. And then you got him locked up on a rookie contract for 4 years. And then you get a little bit of draft capital. It's not the sexiest of trade packages. But if De'Aaron Fox really wanted to go to L.A., then, you know, maybe this would work out. But also, I'm sure the Kings, it's not like it's football or even hockey, but I don't think that the Kings would probably be overly enthused to make a deal like that with a division rival, especially one the history they have with, like, the Lakers.
Yes, exactly. And I don't think there's many teams out there who want to, you know, do the Lakers a favor, which is, I think, part of the reason it's been so hard to build a better roster out there, even though LeBron and AD, push for it the same time around this time every single year. But
just one or two pieces, man.
And it's got to be a center too. If you're the Kings, though, it's like, hey, I mean, I don't know. I feel like in the meeting, I'd be one of the people being like, hey, you know what? Maybe we can actually service some of these guys on the way back. Like, in my mind, a Domantas Sabonis and Rui Hachimura front court is actually not bad. Like, I think that's I'd be willing to see what that kind of looks like. And you've got other guys that you know, if you're the Kings, that you can play at the four, that you've kind of been rotating through, even a guy like Keegan Murray, he's kind of, you know, the quote unquote modern, wing player that slides up to the four. But I kind of like that size. And if Rui is going through one of his stretches where he's, knocking down his shots, then I kind of like that combo. You said Gabe Vincent's name, right? He'd be going over.
Gabe Vincent, Dalton Connect, Christian Wood.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. So yeah, Wood, whatever. Christian Wood. I'm sick of defending Christian Wood. I think you and I are on the same page with Christian Wood. I actually
expiring deal.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I actually really like Christian Wood. I don't understand why he hasn't worked, but I think I need to, read the writing on the wall. So something's up with him. There's no way he's fucking just out of the rotation on all these teams, even though I'm very tantalized by his skill set. Clearly, I'm not going to fall
when
for
he
the
plays,
trap again.
He's good.
Well, I know. No, Matt, don't try and convince me. Okay. It's over. But Christian Wood, I'll call him a throw in this one. Dalton Connect is a real piece. Like, Dalton Connect, I know he's an older rookie. I understand. And this is probably You know, with guys like that, their rookie year, it's like, oh, they're so good. And it's like, oh, this is kind of might be as good as they ever get. But still, mm-hmm. he's a shooter. He's got decent size. And I actually like Gabe Vincent in this role. If, again, you're the Kings, I think in this, if you're making this trade, you are definitely more in the camp of, okay, we're going to still try to compete this year. Because obviously, if you want draft picks, you're not going to make a deal with the Lakers if that's your main objective. But if you have Gabe Vincent yep. and you can... and he turns out to be healthy, and sort of back to more like the Miami Gabe Vincent that we've seen in the past. That's a decent sort of point guard slash swingman that I could see working okay on this team. And then, you know, those are some decent pieces to work with. So if you're the Kings and yeah, it's more about winning, then I think you'd maybe consider this deal. And then if you're the Lakers, like, I don't know, like, this is obviously an upgrade. If you're the Lakers and you're like, look, we want to win more than we would have won without making this trade, then yes, go ahead yeah. and make it. But I still don't think a backcourt of Austin Reeves and De'Aaron Fox is good enough defensively to really compete with anyone, in the playoffs, in the West, whatever it is. And De'Aaron Fox, like, if you're still going to try and use LeBron as best, sort of the best version of LeBron at the end of a close playoff game, which is, with the ball in his hands, De'Aaron Fox is not a good enough off-ball shooter for me. He's not fucking Kyrie Irving, who can do both, mm-hmm. you know, have the ball in his hands and be this amazing spot-up shooter. De'Aaron Fox needs the ball in his hands as well. And the last thing you want is to sort of push LeBron off of the ball and just have him standing around. So it's another sort of clunky fit that I do not think pushes the Lakers over the top. I mean, we can argue if there is any fucking move out there realistically at all that can push the Lakers over the top. But if you're in the camp that it is, and that move does exist, or those moves exist, I don't think this is getting the Lakers into championship contention. I think it's just making them a little bit better, but ultimately not good enough to be like a conference finals team. But hey, an upgrade is an upgrade, I suppose.
So I know this is a team, just throwing this out there as a total, just one that I think would be a really interesting fit, and I would love to see it happen. But what if the Detroit Pistons, my Detroit Pistons, said, let's go for it. Let's make a push. So they get De'Aaron Fox and Dougie McBuckets, Doug McDermott, in exchange for Tim Hardaway Jr., who last year of his contract, Isaiah Stewart, who's a feisty motherfucker if there ever was one. They also get Jaden Ivey, kind of the centerpiece of this trade. That he can be their new kind of guard for the future. They can actually let him run the offense as well as the top ball handler. And then they also get the 2027 first round pick from the Pistons.
Hey, then Jaden Ivey in 8 to 10 years can ask out before the Kings actually yes. get anywhere, and then the cycle will continue. It's perfect. Yeah, I mean, when you first said the Pistons, in my mind, I wasn't sure. I had a feeling Jaden Ivey would be included, but I'm like, wow, Cade, Jaden Ivey, and
Jaren Fox. I think he would have to be. The Pistons don't have great draft capital.
Yeah, that is weird. That is strange. Well, they keep using them on mediocre players, for the last little bit.
And they haven't had anybody to really move to get picks, I guess. So that's true. Part of it, too.
Yeah, but Jaden Ivey alone in this deal is the young player I'm most excited about out of everyone. I mean, he's the first real sort of young trade chip that we've thrown around here, potentially mm-hmm. going the other way. If I was the Kings, I would jump at that. Having a guy who, I know he's out, with that unfortunate injury for the rest of this year, but from what you saw early on this year and going back a little bit to last year as well, it was like, okay, I think this guy, we're seeing the vision here of what he can be in the NBA. And again, he was doing that under, within a Cade-led team. Like, he hasn't had his own team, to go and just be unleashed like he was at Purdue, which, I've liked him all the way back to that point when he's mm-hmm. just fucking so explosive, such a great athlete, and just great with the ball in his hands. You send him over to the Kings, he has all that freedom to do that in the world, and he's got, good pieces around him, a collection of shooters as well. He's got a big guy in Sabonis. Like, I would not hate that at all for the Kings. My only thing is on the Pistons side, the De'Aaron Fox, Cade backcourt, I don't necessarily know how well that would work, but I think the argument for it is these are two guys who are fairly like crafty when it comes to, the point guard position. No, though neither of them are like great knockdown spot up shooters, I think you know, they could cut off of each other and find ways to play with each other. I doubt, mm-hmm. though, that the Pistons would go in a sort of all-in type of thing and trade Jaden Ivey for another point guard. Like, I think they'd be willing to do this for a player of De'Aaron Fox's level. But I don't know if they go in for that, you know, for someone who essentially plays the same position as Cade. But, you know, maybe it is, you know, kind of like I was saying with the Spurs, like it's not the perfect fit, but it's like, hey, this is a star player who's come available. Let's take a swing at it. You know, at least from the Kings side of things, if you're enticing people enough with Fox to get a player of a young player of Jaden Ivey's caliber back, then I'd be, you know, much more inclined to do this deal from their perspective, for sure.
Well, the last one I've got here, Jordan, before we move on, it's a team that we've been talking about for a while here. They desperately need a point guard, especially one that can go out there and score the rock. Let's say the Orlando Magic, they get De'Aaron Fox in exchange for KCP, Cole Anthony, Tristan Da Silva, and the Magic's first round pick this year.
I would strongly consider doing this if you're the Magic.
It's a little bit weak.
Sure. But what I mean is I would strongly consider getting in on this and getting De'Aaron Fox over to that team because,
I think it's a win for the Magic. I think the Kings might want. Yeah,
no, totally. Yeah. It's not the best package, but you know, I don't know what picks necessarily Orlando has to sort of keep piling in there on that, you know, on their side of the deal. But, you know, I think I'd be willing to pay a bit of a premium to get De'Aaron Fox in there because you know you have something in Orlando, and the one thing you really are sort of missing is that backcourt dynamic creation, somebody who can get to the rim, like a guy who can close games and you know, knock down shots and just, you know, make stuff happen in that backcourt to go along with your two budding stars in the front court. When we're looking at like where De'Aaron Fox, what backcourt partner or what sort of system would he fit best next to, De'Aaron Fox and Jalen Suggs in a backcourt? I mean, I would like better shooting, but hey, I'm banking on De'Aaron or Jalen Suggs being that 40% shooter like he was in the regular season. Playoffs, obviously a different story, but you know, we can sort of picture him like that as sort of a knockdown guy. The defense that he brings next to De'Aaron Fox is just such a great combo. And then you have tons of weapons, and sort of this Orlando team that is, last I checked, 29th. We just recently talked about how god awful they are offensively. Then becomes, I think, a really scary offensive machine. You know, with between Franz Paolo and De'Aaron Fox at the end of the game, like that is a scary sort of collection of guys who can go at you in different ways. He's sort of sliding in. Like he might ultimately hurt your defense again, but or a little bit, I should say. But if you're Orlando, you're third in the league, you can afford to slide down a little bit, and you need to balance out, you know, sort of your offense and your defensive abilities. So yeah, I really like it if you're the Magic, but like you said, maybe not quite enough from sort of the Kings' perspective, because there's no one really you're that excited about players wise getting back in this one.
Yeah, well, we'll monitor De'Aaron Fox and you know, his trade value and any of the rumors that are going to come out. I'm sure I'm going to be editing this. I'm going to upload it, and he'll be traded to someone Miami or something crazy. Who knows?
Hey, I'm just Phoenix, shutting it out there. Knocking. Houston, don't count out Houston. Yeah. With little Fred Van Vliet going back. If you are the Kings, it's like, hey, maybe that is a way we can sort of somewhat keep a semblance of competitiveness, and that would be I think a pretty decent upgrade. Another team like the Magic, great defense over there in Houston, but not anything to write home about offensively. De'Aaron Fox, I think, would fit in there nicely.
The spacing would be a little bit troubling, but I mean, trying to stop De'Aaron Fox, Jalen Green, and Amon Thompson just barreling down at you every possession downhill. You're not going to stop that. They'd be doing like double alley-oop passes.
They would.
It would be crazy. Look like those guys off the trampolines. But moving on, let's talk about them. Luckily, we were able to avoid it a little bit here because I'm sick of it at this point. I'm sure you are too, and everyone else listening, but the Jimmy Butler Miami Heat drama continues. With Jimmy Butler now officially suspended indefinitely. I don't know why they just didn't do this in the beginning. That's kind of what I assumed was going to end up happening. They were just going to do it indefinitely, but I guess maybe they gave him his chances, and now they can do it when the league can't really say anything about it, saying it's unfair because he's been a fucking dick. for the past month. And this is, you know, where we're at. So up until the trade deadline, he will not be playing for the Miami Heat. He's, you know, very, 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 very likely having played his last game with the Miami Heat now. And this last suspension being stemmed from unprofessional conduct after he just walked out of the Miami Heat practice after they said that he was going to be coming off the bench for Haywood Highsmith, which is, I don't understand how, one, that's shocking to Jimmy that they want to have other guys fucking playing when he doesn't want to be there. He's expressly said he doesn't want to be there, and that he was just coming off a suspension. Like, generally in sports, you don't just get, you know, a suspension and then it's, yeah, pretend it never happened. Like, maybe you're in the NFL, I guess, but that's a different story. Like, this is just baby behavior once again from Jimmy. And again, his trade stock isn't super high, but if I'm the fucking Heat, just get anything for him. Just get anything. Because your team right now, you're six in the East. You're actually playing pretty decently. Like, Bam's starting to pick it up a little bit. You know, Tyler Hero, all-star level season. Jovic is starting to really kind of turn into a player. Khalil Ware looks like a fucking beast. Like, maybe the front runner for Rookie of the Year coming on down the stretch here. But yeah, they've got the pieces. They can actually, you know, I don't think they're contenders by any means, but like, if you can just go out there and get a couple guys, like, just to bolster the team, one first round pick at this point for Jimmy Butler, he's 37, we said, like it's too much. Yep. It's too much at this point. Just be done with it. He's not helping your team. Anything is better than what you have now, because you have nothing with Jimmy Butler.
Yes, correct. I want to know why, though, Jimmy didn't pull a Minnesota Towns Wiggins situation and say, okay, Highsmith, you play with the fucking starters and grab a bunch of third string guys and Kevin Love and go sort of beat them Minnesota style. I'm disappointed. Maybe
Udonis Haslam
still
pulled up.
He's like, I'll just play with UD, and
he's probably probably still goes to all the practices.
Oh, for sure. He's
let's go,
he's
boys.
Never,
he just stands on the sideline.
He could probably still hit his patented baseline mid-range jumper. I mean, that's never going to leave him. He's still a weapon out there. Jimmy, I agree that that should be where the Heat are at, and I think that is where they're at. They're just like, look, we are at the point now where anything is better than nothing. I think Jimmy has sort of been successful in making it uncomfortable enough for them that they just can't, you know, they can't go on like this. And like, if you're Jimmy, like, you want to tread lightly here. Like, it feels like if I'm the Heat, like, anything at all, any call I take from any fucking godforsaken organization in the league, I would entertain it and send Jimmy out of there. So Jimmy could be sent somewhere he might not necessarily want to go. I mean, I know if you're trading for Jimmy Butler, like, you're going to be a fairly good team who wants to make things happen. But, like, you know, I've heard Detroit being thrown around here as like a team that could take a chance on it, or other teams like that. Like, I don't necessarily think Jimmy would be that happy going into a situation like that, where you've got to sort of lead a really young team with not a lot of experience that is not going to get, you know, ultimately that high of playoff seeding, like, you know, and more than likely a sort of first round and out type of situation. Maybe he does. Maybe he's hungry to go prove himself and say, look, I can take a young team and lead them back, you know, deep into the playoffs. I think what's more likely, you know, based on the teams he said he wants to go to, Phoenix, for example, is he wants to go to a team where he can really sort of feel like he can push them over the top, or even a team like the Warriors, you know, who have that pedigree and, you know, he can convince himself like, okay, I can come and be the sort of missing piece here. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who is calling the Heat right now with real offers, but I just still feel like, just like the last time we talked about it, I feel like he's going to Phoenix. I can't get it out of my head how perfect the big three of Jimmy, Devin Booker and KD is. Like, that is just the to have that shooting and skill on either side of Jimmy is just so great. And then Jimmy ties those two together defensively when he's on the court, you know, as a playmaker, and get both of those guys involved. Like, I really, really, really like that fit. It obviously is going to have to involve Bradley Beal, though. So it's going to have to be, you know, the Heat want to get Jimmy get rid of Jimmy bad enough. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. He has to, number one, agree to a move. And then if you're the Heat, you have to agree to taking on Bradley Beal's fucking contract. But again, like, we can go through all this, like, you know, all these other trade packages, whatever, whatever. Like, I understand Bradley Beal's way overpaid. And I understand a backcourt of Bradley Beal and Tyler Hero or Rozier, or, you know, anyone you want to sort of pair him up with, is not going to be strong defensively. But it's like we're saying, if you're the Heat, just anything is better than nothing. Like,
He's better than Duncan Robinson.
Well, yes, that's what I mean. Like, I think you're going to be a decent team. Like, you have Bam to sort of cover things up, you know, defensively on the inside. You have a good defensive foundation. And maybe Bradley Beal, with a little bit more, you know, back to having a little bit more responsibility, can show you a little bit, you know, become a little bit closer to that 30 point per game score that, you know, locked down this massive contract in the first place. Like, I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. I understand it's a lot of money, and he's probably the worst contract in the NBA right now. But I think, you know, it at least gives you, if you're the Heat, a chance to compete a little bit. Whereas any other sort of package that you get, like, I don't think you're going to really be getting anyone to that same level, frankly. So I think, though, that this is the fit that makes the most sense to me. I think if I had a hunch and I had to bet, they're going to get something done here. But, you know, the whole new cap mechanics, the first apron, the second apron, is complicating all this. So, you know, I can't say for fucking certain. But yeah, I just think he's going to be over there in Phoenix by next Friday.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad bet. From everything that's come out so far, it seems like they're the team that is the most interested. They made that move.
And they made that,
like I said,
move.
That Nick Richards move. Yes. They've got the draft capital to at least throw in there, along with Bradley Beal as well. So yeah, I would be shocked if it's a team other than Phoenix once he's moved.
Yeah, I think it'll either be Phoenix or no move. That's my bet.
And did he ever say why he didn't want to go to Memphis? Because that still seemed like such a good fit. But then he just said anyone but Memphis.
Is this like mind games, like reverse psychology, so that, you know, other teams think that I don't know, because that's what I've thought this whole time. Like, he's kind of the
perfect guy. Does he still think Dylan Brooks is there?
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you know, it's the fucking grindhouse, for God's sake. I mean, I know it's not really the that was back in the Tony Allen, Zach Randolph days, but, you know, Memphis, I think, is still trying to
it's
sort of
the firing range these days.
Yes, you know, they're still trying to bring that energy, though, and to an extent they are kind of like that a rough and tumble team that I think Jimmy would fit really nicely into. He's kind of been that wing that they have been missing this entire time. And my God, I mean, Memphis is a super deep team. They've got a lot of guys that they could send back. I think they've got some decent, you know, draft picks that they could throw in there. Like, if you if you insert Jimmy into that fucking team in between that Bane and Morant backcourt, and then you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. in the front court, like, that is,
and Edie, that's a hell of a start.
Brandon
five.
Clark up there, fucking Santi Claus. I would hold on to him in a deal like this.
Yeah,
like,
any
of those guys, like
the Ravian Knights.
Like, then I'm like, okay, shit, I'm on the Memphis bandwagon. They can beat anyone. They are a true contender. Like, there are people who already feel that way about Memphis. I'm not quite there yet. Because for this specific reason, they don't have a wing like Jimmy. And so, yeah, if he were to change his mind, or if this is some sort of, you know, some sort of game on his part, and he is okay with going there, I think, you know, that would be another team, if you are the Grizzlies, to say, like, yeah, I'd get in on this 100%.
Well, we'll keep a close eye on it. I mean, fuck, I've been saying that for a month. I just want to see him done and dealt, and we can move on from this saga, because this is what Jimmy does every single team he goes to. He loves it, and then he hates it. I mean, he keeps saying he loves the Heat, and it has nothing to do with the team. It's all the front office, but it's like, I don't know what you think that what year it is, Jimmy. Like, you took them to the finals twice, yes, and that is amazing. Like, you should be proud of yourself. All of that can't be taken away from you, but it doesn't change the fact of what's going on right now. And, you know, the NBA is a business. That's how shit goes. So, you know,
but
it's,
Matt,
it's
quickly, but before we move on, 100%. Like I teased when we first talked about Jimmy Butler, I think this season, if you're the Thunder, do you say, look, here's what we can do. We can throw in draft picks that we're probably never even going to use. We're going to trade for Jimmy. I don't care if he's like angry about it or not. He can pick up his option next year. We're not going to give him another contract. But, you know, if you're Jimmy Butler and you're sent to Oklahoma City, you legitimately have a chance to be out on the court and win a ring this year.
Yeah.
Can you pass that up? Even if you know they're not going to sign you long term. And you've got max this year and next year. Are you going to entertain that possibility at all, Matt, if you're either side?
I mean, again, Jimmy said he's not opting into his contract. He's going to hit free agency, which is insane.
Sure, Jimmy.
But I mean, yeah, again, maybe it's that reverse psychology you're talking about. When we talked about this originally, yeah, I think the Jimmy Butler fit on paper is a fucking like home run with the Thunder. I think I said, you take Lou Dort and you swap him with Jimmy Butler. That's a no brainer. But now I'm just like this, the vibes are so good. The chemistry is amazing on OKC. If you make a move. Yeah.
And to get Jimmy Butler. Things are going to get
shaken up. Yeah. And then you put this hothead in there. I feel like that could be like one of those moves. It's kind of like the Mavericks back when they got Rondo, like on paper.
Yes.
That was such a home run fucking move. They should have been competing for the title that year. And they got flamed out in the first round because Rondo wanted to be a pissy baby about it. I think if I'm Jimmy, yeah, that would be fucking awesome. I would want to be a part of that. You have a chance to, win that championship that's been elusive to you your whole career. But if I'm the Thunder, I don't know if I'd want to take that risk. You're still young enough. Even if this season doesn't work out, you're probably going to be even better next year.
Yeah, so, you're right. I know.
For me,
unrealistic suggestion.
The thing is, I don't think it's unrealistic. Like, I think that the Thunder could 100% do it, and it would make sense. Like, I don't think... Sure. If they did it, a lot of people would probably praise them for it. Because again, it should work out, and they should pretty much be the title favorites when they get Jimmy Butler. There's no debate, especially when they get Chet back. Like that starting five is going to be unstoppable.
Yeah,
but yeah, my God, I just don't trust him as a teammate anymore enough to have him go on a team like that.
That's the thing. If you're Jimmy and you want to like dictate where you go, who the fuck, like you've flamed out and it's been like a crash and burn situation at every fucking stop. Like you, at some point you got to realize that that's going to hurt your chances of, you know, a team wanting to take a risk on you. And I think that's where we're at.
I think pretty much everywhere after Chicago, he has pretty much burned every bridge he had.
Minnesota, then Philly.
Minnesota was the worst, probably. Philly, bad. Now we're here with Miami. So, I guess we'll see. I mean, this is probably the worst one now. It's probably I the Minnesota one was at least funny, and that was literally one season that he was there for, and then he just fucking he peaced out. But yeah, this is an interesting one to watch unfold. I mean, if he doesn't get traded, that's the funniest thing, and maybe the biggest repercussions for Jimmy and all of his bullshit and not being professional is that he would end up just, okay, well, you don't want to play for us? Guess you don't get to play for anybody now. And you just get to sit at home. And he's suspended. He's losing money by not playing. Yeah. He gets docked. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a huge loss for him. So he better be fucking banking that his agent will get him somewhere, anywhere but Miami, or else he's fucked. So good luck to him.
Big three player. What's Ice Cube? Yes. He'd be great.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Send him to the creators clash. The NBA always promotes. There's lots. Maybe he could play for the undefeated league. He could join Absolutely. Angel Reese. I don't know. We could make something happen there. But moving on, we got some All-Star talk here. We've given out our full All-Star teams. We've recapped the actual NBA All-Star starters as we are awaiting the rest of the teams to be announced. We got some rising stars to talk about here, Jordan. The best rookies and sophomores and then random G Leaguers to throw in here for the 2025 Castrol Rising Stars. When I think about rising stars, I always think about Castrol Oil. Moving on, though. This is I'm going to say it, man. It's shitty. This is like maybe the worst least anticipated sophomore rookie game I've ever seen in 20 years of watching the NBA.
Matt, there's a NBA G League. I obviously don't know I know some of these G Leaguers, but there's a one of them with a particularly funny name. Who the fuck is Dink Pate?
you don't know Mr. Pate? Dink?
You don't know
Dink? Yeah, maybe we're really out of it, man. We don't know who Mr. Dink is. There's somebody watching this right now. You don't know fucking Dinkster? You don't know Dinky?
Oh man, I wish his first name for some reason was like on the back of his jersey. Then Dink and Grady Dick could do you know, a bit of a funny swap. Sorry, Matt. I interrupted you there, but
well, no, I looked him up. I couldn't get over Dink. I looked him up. First off, this is fucked because he is a 2006 baby. He was born in 2006. He's only 18. He's turning 19 in March. Okay. He's 6'8". I've never heard of this guy. Never heard of this guy in my life.
I think I would remember Dink Pat or Dink Pate. Yes.
So he's very young, went undrafted. Again, don't see anything here about his college. You can probably find that out as well. But he's averaging 9.8 points, 3.9 rebounds.
Wow, thrilling. Well done,
Dink. How the fuck are you in this game, man? Why? This is the shittiest game. This game used to be awesome. You used to actually have guys. Like, again, I don't want to shit on him, but like Grady Dick, come on, man. Like, you're literally one of the best players in this game. Like you might be in the top five. I really, really, really don't give a rat's ass about this year's Rising Stars game, man. Like, I'm also confused. Forgive me. Maybe I'm, not remembering things. But Jared McCain out for the season. It has one of these rookie spots. Brandon Miller out for the season has one of these sophomore spots. Derek Lively out for an extended period of time also has a roster spot. All these guys with injuries. Chet Holmgren can't get an invite.
Hold on. No, but Chet's he's not eligible, is he? Oh, wait.
He's a sophomore. He was a rookie last year. Well, he was drafted 3 years ago. He had the Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think so, because he was. I'm pretty sure he was on the rookies last year.
No, you're right. That's just why I didn't think of him as a sophomore. But yeah, you're right. That's true. Obviously he would make this list. When did they make these selections? Because it's true. Hold on. Yeah, you're right. Fuck. Yeah, Jared McCain's on you. That makes no sense. That's not that. Yeah, that is unfair.
I'm confused. And then we've got we've got Mac McClung, who we're going to talk about the dunk contest in a second here, who is 45 years old and I guess a prospect. JD Davison, who's been bouncing around a little bit. Hey, Leonard Miller, shout out to you,
Leonard,
Canadian boy.
Love that.
And well then deserved. This is crazy to me. Instead of having him in the rookies again, Jared McCain is out for the NBA G League. Reed Sheppard.
Yep,
he's he has actually played NBA minutes. Some of these fucking other rookies have not. And we're here saying Reed Sheppard is some fucking G League guy coming in here. I'm pretty sure Reed Sheppard's averaging like 30 points in the G League. So barely a G Leaguer. It's just kind of there because of the depth in the Rocket locker room. But yeah. Oh my god, man. Like this like I my mind always goes to the Dion Waiters and Kyrie Irving shooting each other back very and good. Forth. But even they had Luka and De'Aaron Fox, going back and forth even a couple years ago. Like, we've had some real stars, guys who we were like excited to watch play, rookies and stuff. I know this rookie class, we always like I was saying, maybe there's gonna be one generational star or whatever. Like, none of them are exciting to watch play basketball right now. And on this rookies team, I said it, maybe with the best center or the best rookie in this entire class right now, fucking Bub Carrington gets in here. And like even Zachary Risichet, because he's the first overall pick. No Khalil Ware. Like these picks had to have been made like 3 months ago.
I know. That's the only explanation for me. But again, if you're going to do that and not account for injuries, it is very strange. But also, like, I'm a bit confused on how this is going to work, because are they all on one team, or are we still having the Rising Stars game? Like, which is the team that's going to compete as one of the four against the other three teams that are made up of the All-Stars? Because there's like in the new format, there's like a team of the made up of some of the Rising Stars. Maybe this game and then the draft, they like draft of these guys.
We need more drafts, of course. So this whole format is that there's going to be a mini draft that will be taking place on the fucking NBA app and on social media platforms. Like, because nobody actually gives a shit at 4:00 on a Tuesday, because that's when everybody's going to be able to fucking watch that. Goddamn. This is why the ratings suck, Adam. And then the three teams get drafted or whatever. There's a mini tournament, and then they play, and then the winner of the fucking mini tournament gets in that spot. So these guys are all getting picked.
So this is going to be broken up into three teams.
Yes, that's my understanding. Or it might be four, but either way, it's going to be broken up into little mini teams. They're going to have a little tournament, and then the winners of that shitty little tournament get to play the actual All-Stars. One, here's my first issue. If Wembanyama is a All-Star, will he be taken off of whatever this sophomore's rookies thing is? Like, there's a lot of issues with this list, man.
Hold on a second. Yeah, you're so right. I hadn't even thought of that. Hold on. Wait, I'm now on Rising Stars Twitter. Oh, Cason Wallace is in. Sorry. I thought Cason Wallace was snubbed, but no, he's in.
They originally put him in as Carson Wallace.
Yeah, wait. That's what confused me. His name was spelled wrong. Okay. He's in there. That would have been a travesty.
It still says Carson?
Well, the one I'm looking at, maybe it's...
Holy, that sounds about right.
Hold on. See? Yeah, it still says... We've still got Carson Wallace. That's what the Shams original tweet was.
It's his evil twin.
Maybe they spelled Dink Pate's name wrong, actually.
Yeah.
Name. It's like Joe
his
Smith.
His name is Rick Date.
Sorry. This whole Rising Stars thing. Sometimes Adam Silverman, he's a funny guy. He needs to be...
We need a Rising Stars in-season tournament. An in-season mini tournament of all the best rookies, I think, actually. That would be better. And we'll do it in we'll fucking do it in Vegas right in the Bellagio.
Yes. Yes. There's
and it'll be $500 a ticket.
Oh man. Carson Wallace and Dink Pate. Can't wait to see these guys.
It'll be on at Sunday at 11:12. Exactly.
Oh man. Oh, okay. I don't know what else to say. You're right. In the Rising Stars, it's the Kyrie dancing, that sort of thing. It's like, we can look back on this game once guys are like established and think it's cool. But even at the time, like, that wasn't that cool yet. Cause we didn't know what Kyrie was going to be and Brandon Knight and like all these guys. So, we'll see if there's anything sort of worth talking about even with this game. But I mean, the fact that the All-Star game has descended, this game has also fucking descended into nothingness. Mm. And you know what I want to see even less than the All-Star game, with guys just throwing it off the backboard, not even fucking going into defend their basket on their side of the fucking court, is doing that with guys who I don't even fucking care about, with the same level of intensity, who aren't good, by fucking yes. NBA standards. Like, I don't want to see Grady Dick out there, getting stuffed by Victor Wembanyama, again, some of these very subpar young players, doing a bunch of bullshit, and not even caring. So, those are my feelings about this game. Don't have high hopes, but we'll see. I will be watching for Dink.
I was going to say, get ready for fucking Dink Pate to average. He's going to score all 40 points of their target score mini tournament. And this is also perfect, man. They're doing this on Friday, February 14th. That's Valentine's Day. So Friday night, everybody's going to be going out. Fuck that. If your date doesn't want to watch Dink, then they're not getting the Dink. So just remember that. You got to watch Dink play if you want to get it.
Well, I mean, they'll get some Dick tonight, too, because Grady's going to be playing.
True. Dick and Dink. We got to get one more guy in here. We got Bub Carrington and maybe Chubb Carrington. I don't know.
We need a Johnson. Something could happen. We need a Johnson in there.
Yes. I mean, we have a Scoot. That's not quite a Dink, but it's close. That's something. We may be able to make something happen here.
We've got Carson Wallace. I mean, he's just.
Yes. Yes.
He's a working class man. We've got
too much. Yeah. He just got off his 18-hour shift at the steel mill. He's ready to go. Rising
I also don't
star.
Know. I don't know who Bryce McGowan's is. Another guy on the G League roster who I've never heard of. That sounds like a guy who went to our high school.
Yes, it does. Yeah,
Ontario.
He was on. He's on the Jazz. He's actually not horrible. You've seen him play for sure. You've seen him play. Okay. It's kind of got a throwback style to him. He's not horrible, but I mean, yeah, it's. No one's fucking getting out of their seats to watch this
guy. Is he a white guy? Because he sounds like a white guy.
No.
All right.
Unless I'm mistaken Bryce. Him for somebody else, but I'm pretty sure that he is not a white. No honky. Moving on to even better topic conversation when it comes to the All-Star game. It's the dunk contest. Something we've talked about a lot here. Great. Something we tried. Better. We wanted to bring it back. We wanted people to respect it more. And it's still applicable. Go back and listen to our interview with Chucky Milan, the yes. actual NBA dunk contest coach for the NBA All-Star game. It's a lot of good insight. It's a great interview, but he has a lot of confidence in making the game great again. But unfortunately, Chuck, the game and the All-Star weekend outside of the three-point contest fucking suck, and the dunk contest is set to not be great again. Yes. Mac McClung, we already told you about him. He will be participating, looking to get his third straight dunk contest. This guy's played like I think in total he has like fucking 10 points in the NBA, all garbage time. Yeah. This guy has not done fucking anything, and he's in the dunk contest for third year. Can we please just put actual guys?
Well, he's basically like a pro dunker, like that guy Jordan yes. Kilgannon or whatever. Like,
yeah, Sudbury.
Mac McClung came up on social media as a dunker. Like the fact that he plays basketball school, is just kind of a side thing. Like I know he was actually quite an effective high school player. He was very good, but mostly because he was flying through the air and dunking. That's crazy. Have you seen, that meme of those like cops or someone going into a cell and they're like pushing that kid out and he's got a blanket. He's like woken up.
And
he's scared. Like that was the meme today. Like every February, that's the NBA to Mac McClung.
That's right now. Yeah. Since Zach LaVine won't do it, Aaron Gordon is getting a little bit long in the tooth. All the other guys who anyone wants to fucking watch dunk the ball will not do it. So we're stuck with Mac, which I mean, at least he is a good dunker. I can give him that.
He can dunk it. Yes.
But even then, like he is like one of the better dunk contest guys. I still wouldn't, like, if he wins three in a row, he wouldn't even be in my fucking top 10 dunk contest guys ever. Oh my God,
no. No, because this isn't what it's about. This isn't like a guy who's technically, like, he's not on an NBA roster, is he? He's on a G League roster.
He's a G League guy, but he's technically on the Sixers, I believe. Or maybe he's on the Magic now. He was on the Sixers forever. Who gives a fuck? He doesn't play anyway.
Have a G League dunk contest. Like, Jesus, like, he could be the best G League dunker ever.
Maybe they used to.
Don't drag a guy who's not really in the league into the, like, that is so against the spirit. Like, even if he was, even in scenario where he was, like, approaching, like, one of the best dunkers ever, I can't count it if you can't make an NBA roster consistently.
Yeah.
That's not what this is. This is the NBA dunk contest, for God's sake. So, yeah, I'm okay. With you.
The other three guys in this contest are NBA players. We got Stephon Castle from the Spurs, who I wouldn't think of him as a big dunker. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. Matis Pazuelas, rookie from the Bulls as well.
He can dunk, but rookie. I mean...
White, so we'll have to have an asterisk on him. And he's technically European white, but he's American European, so I don't count it. He's just white. I mean, Mac McClung also, though, so who knows? I feel like that's too much white already in this dunk contest.
I 100% agree.
And then you've got Andre Jackson Jr., the defensive stopper shooting guard from the Bucks, who I don't know if I've ever seen him dunk the ball yet.
Not memorably. Although Buzelis had a nice little sort of he lost a guy and went and jammed it the other night. He's getting a few more minutes. So he can get up.
He can. I'm being a bit of a dick, but he actually can dunk. But if this year they don't announce that the 3-point contest isn't the main event, I'll be absolutely like flabbergasted. Like nobody around the world, anyone, like again, we watch the NBA religiously. We have been forever. I don't give a fuck about this dunk contest. I haven't cared about the dunk contest for about 5-6 years.
Yeah, do you know why? Because this is the bottom. Most random fucking. Yeah, this. I agree. This is rock bottom. I don't like when Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon did it. Like who are the other guys even competing in that one that year? I don't really remember, but it was.
You're gonna shit yourself. Do you know who was in that first one? And I'm gonna go back and just double check. But do you know who was in that 2016 draft dunk contest? Oh, Giannis. God.
Oh my God. Okay. See, there you go. Like, I understand that at the time, Gordon and LaVine weren't like star players by any means, but they were like rotation guys. They were guys who were like good. Like, they were guys who had, and also, at least in the case of Aaron Gordon. I forget exactly how high Zach LaVine was picked, but Aaron Gordon was like a highly touted draft pick, like out of Arizona. Yep. Like these are guys with real pedigree who were actually
Pardon me. It wasn't him that year. Giannis might have been 2015. He was in one. He did do it. It was Andre Drummond and Will Barton were the other two in the 2016 draft or 2016 dunk contest.
Still, like Andre Drummond, again, another guy who was like solidly in a rotation and was like a good
Will Barton was, he was a starting three for years.
Yeah, like I don't get how we went from that. Like, I mean, you go back far enough and it was actually like stars competing in it in the days of Michael Jordan, you know, Dr. J, Dominique Wilkins, like, God forbid we want that. We went then got worse and worse and worse and worse down to the point where it was guys like Gordon and LaVine. But again, like these guys gave us one of the best dunk contests, if not the best one ever. They didn't have to be stars, but now you've descended to fucking the favorite being a G League guy. Like I really don't understand how the culture has let this happen. And guys like me and you, anyone who watches the NBA, like there's just no excitement to it whatsoever. It honestly is the thing that makes me more mad than anything. Like I'm fine giving up the fucking All-Star game. It was never that exciting. Like we you know, it was something that was watchable at one time, but it was never great. The dunk contest, as soon as, you know, less than 10 years ago, was fucking incredible. That 2016 dunk contest, I mean, that whole All-Star weekend in Toronto was great. Obviously Kobe's last one, lots of great stuff going on. But like that dunk contest was absolutely electric, incredible. We have fallen so far since then, and it's sad. That's all it is.
Well, and again, like, I'm not saying every year has ever, like, you can go all the way back, you know, even to the beginning when there was, like, stars like Michael Jordan, you know, participating in it. Like, there has always been guys who are in it that are just there for dunkers, like, just to be a dunker. Like, Jeremy Evans won in 2012, and he was awesome, but, like, that guy was barely on a roster, similar to the McAvoy. There's always going to be those outlier years, but even with that, like, there are guys who are, you know, they can build themselves up, and there are guys who just should be able to put it on. Like, I feel like there was a good span there where we were seeing like big name guys do it. Like Blake Griffin, 2011, like he was already in the league, All-Star.
Yes,
he did it 2011. You know, Terrence Ross was never, you know, a superstar by any means, but amazing performance put on, was a solid, you know, NBA player at the time that he was in that. Next year was the team competition, and that was, you know, the John Wall, Damian Lillard, like
you had Paul George. These guys.
Yeah, there was a lot of fucking talent involved in that. And again, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Do you know what's actually nuts? I could not have named you the last, like, outside of the last two with McClung, I couldn't have named you any of these guys. Did you know? So it went Obi Toppin 2022. 2021, do you remember who won?
God, no, Matt. I have no idea.
I remember it now that I'm seeing it. I would have never fucking guessed it. Anfernee Simons.
He won a dunk contest flat out.
He won the dunk contest in 2021.
I don't even remember the year before that. Yeah. The dunk contest.
I barely remember it. He had like one okay dunk, but that one was like holy shit bad. Year before that, Derrick Jones Jr. won it after trying to win it for like 5 years in a row.
Okay,
and I mean, was like, see, okay.
He's one of these guys I'm talking about. He's a rotation NBA player who's a dunker. That's fine. Like that one was deserved. I mean,
Do you remember that Jaylen Brown was in the dunk contest last year?
Yes.
He was fucking horrible.
Yes. I do remember that.
Oh, yeah, shit. It's just, there's no winning, man. There's literally no winning. Before Derek Jones, Hamidou Diallo.
For Christ's sake. I mean, I kind of remember that. Yes.
But dunked over Shaq. Year before that, Spida Mitchell. Okay.
See, another guy who's, yeah, like he did it, whatever. I don't remember any of his dunks. Oh, he did the
Vince glass.
Carter. Oh, off the glass, but the Vince Carter one tribute as well. That one is nice.
Mm-hmm. The last one I'll mention, just going back because it's just like, okay, 2017, Glenn Robinson III. And that one, I'm pretty sure, is that one was the worst dunk contest, like of like just normal ones without all the gimmicks and shit. That was the worst. I'm pretty sure Glenn Robinson fucking jumped. He had tried jumping over this fucking like a plane, like a model plane. You remember this? They wheeled it out onto the court. And he tried to jump over it, and he kicked it in midair and broke the wing off it. It was like
that was
really that was funny. Awesome. Good job, man. Like really, you can dunk it. I can't, but like I, It's just, it's like nobody cares, man. Nobody gives a shit. It's over. let's just do something else. Let's just do something else. Just do the 3-point contest. I've heard rumblings now of a Splash Brothers versus INSQ and Clark. WNBA, NBA. That would be awesome. I would way rather watch that shooting contest than whatever the fuck we are going to see in the dunk contest. Because even if the dunk contest, let's say they put down like the four best dunks I've ever seen in my life, like I'll be blown away. I will be impressed. I'm still not going to enjoy it because I don't have any investment in any of these guys.
I know. That's the thing. That's the other thing too. Like that's why you need, again, it doesn't have to be fucking star players, but like, why is that a crazy ask? To have a league that's based on watching the athleticism of like the best guys on show, wanting mm-hmm. them to show it in a dunk contest. Like, why is it unreasonable for us to want an Anthony Edwards, Ja Morant, name any Jalen Green, name any number of Amen Thompson, for God's sake.
Awesome. Those four just done. That's amazing.
Why like, is that too much awesome. To ask that we get that? Like, I don't understand. It used to be like that, but we're not, that's not what we're begging for. We're begging for any fucking guy that, we have some knowledge, of, and sort of have followed their career or, early on in the career, they're sort of becoming a player, like actually a meaningful NBA player, on a given team. Like when it's just random role guys who are on the bubble of being in the fucking league or rookies with not a lot of high profile, they don't drive that much excitement or engagement, mainly because they don't get enough minutes. My fucking rookie of the year selection, Buzelis over there. No one's gonna care about it. You're not. Well,
I'm switching my rookie of the year pick to Dink Pat.
Yes, Dink. He's definitely getting signed to a roster after this. Everyone thought he was joke name. but I just want to, and I think we're going to go over this probably, we've got a few shows here before All-Star Weekend, obviously, in a few weeks. We'll remind people of my idea of we should be able to vote for who is in the fucking dunk contest, and you can say no, but then you're not invited to All-Star Weekend and you're not an All-Star if you say no. So Anthony Edwards, I know 100% he would be voted by the fans to be in the dunk contest. If you want to fucking say no, then you're not an All-Star that year. And that affects your contract. That affects your fucking legacy, down the line. But with the caveat that if you're over 30, you're allowed to say no. And, everyone would vote LeBron because he's never been in one. And, I'm not going to make a 40-year-old man do it. That's fine. But if you're 30 and under and you are voted in, democratically by the fans and you want to be an All-Star, you got to go in there and participate in the dunk contest. That's my idea. I've given it to Adam for free. Those are the type of drastic measures we're going to need to take if we ever want this thing back.
Yeah. And again, I've said it before. I love that idea. I've even, like I said, I'd take it one step further. I wouldn't have that 30-year-old
LeBron
thing.
And I don't give a fuck. Steph.
If that's what the people want to see, the whole point of All-Star Weekend at the root of it all is to give back.
Correct.
To all the fans and all the people watching, spending
the
their time and their effort.
Of fucking dollars you fucking guys get.
Yeah. The least you could do is fucking put a half-assed effort into a dunk contest. We're not asking you to fucking do like a backflip through the legs, 360 windmill. Like, just throw it off the glass, yam it hard, I'll be pumped.
Yes.
Like, that's all we need to see. It just makes it more exciting. I Mac McClung will probably pull out a 360 fucking, double honeypot or something.
Well, exactly.
And I'm just going to say, cool.
But that's the thing. When you go back to the golden age of dunk contests, it was because they were stars. That's what made it exciting. And then, like if you look at, some of those Dominique Wilkins dunks and the, Michael Jordan dunks, they weren't that technically crazy. Like, they weren't doing fucking, 360 windmills. They were going up. A lot of Michael Jordan's dunks in the dunk contest were, like you're saying, they were just thrown down really hard, like simple kind of like pumps in the air. A lot of Dominique Wilkins' dunks were, cradles. Dominique had a lot of just like, power dunks, like pumps, but, back over the head between the legs.
Which those are sick, underrated.
No, they're sick, but like, it's, all you want to see is guys that, like you're saying, you care about, you have a vested interest in slowly each round ramping up the difficulty and the impressiveness of their dunks, going back and forth off of each other. It doesn't need to be like the craziest dunk you've ever seen, nothing you've ever seen before. It just has to be competitive, because that's what was great about the 2016 one as well, between Gordon and Levine. They were going back and forth kind of shot for shot. And yeah,
not too many props either. Just, you know, dunking because they can dunk. Didn't need all this other shit. Like Aaron Gordon had the you know, the mascot doing the spin.
Which was insane.
But that was cool and it made sense and it was actually difficult. It wasn't like you just wheel you know, a little person out there, someone that's like 5'10" and you're like, okay, I'm gonna jump over you now.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like. And even in that one, like Zach LaVine, a lot of his dunks were, you know, kind of similar to each other, but he was doing them really sort of different variations and they were very sort of impressive. And the other key is they were doing them on the first or second attempts. Like these guys nowadays try and do all this like crazy shit that they've attempted a million times and made once. So now they think they can do it in front of a stadium full of people. There's... We can go on for hours about this, but
we've talked about this many times on this fucking podcast. Hopefully one day it'll get better. But this year doesn't look like it's going to be that time. but moving on to the final little part of the segment or part of the podcast before we close it up for the weekend. I was hoping it was Friday. It's recording Tuesday. This on Tuesday night. Fuck me, man. Jesus Christ. Too long of a week. But we got some interesting news here. The Golden State Warriors officially announced that they're going to retire Andre Iguodala's number 9 jersey into the rafters. A very interesting one, I would say, but I think it's kind of the perfect, like, again, I've already said this before to anyone who's new to listening. I actually don't like retiring jersey numbers. I live in constant fear that eventually all the numbers will be retired and we don't know what to do. So we need to figure something out. Looking at you, Celtics and Lakers, and the Warriors are getting close, especially when they get done retiring 35, 30, 11, 23. You know, there's going to be quite a few others, I'm sure, you know, thrown in there. But this is a good one because Iggy was an awesome Golden State Warrior, amazing player, pivotal to all those, you know, that those championship runs. You know, obviously he has the 2015 Finals MVP, which, you know, I think people. No, I just want to get into that right now. I before we get into that, I guess, like he's established himself as a local legend for that team, and I do like when teams, you know, retire guys' jerseys that, you know, you might not be like, oh yeah, that guy's like a superstar, first ballot Hall of Famer, but, you know, he's important to the franchise and he's important to, you know, the history that you know, revolves around their biggest high of you know, success.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, every time we talk about those Warriors teams, we always like to, I mean, I think we are, you know, those type of people who say, like, yeah, Steph, Draymond and Clay, obviously they were the sort of backbone of all of those teams, but there were so many other guys that get forgotten, like the Sean Livingstons of the world, you know, the freaking Mo Spates, who was there for a little bit, you know, all the guys David that West. They brought off the bench. Yeah. And there was different sort of iterations of it, but the main guy.
How about the Flash, Leonardo Barbosa?
Barbosa, yes, Leandro, he was incredible. Fuck yeah! Oh my god, there's so many guys we could just name off going back and forth. But the
it's pretty much half the podcast.
Yes, the quintessential guy who's like, oh yeah, he's not thought of as the you know, the that big three kind of cog, but he does so many things that helped this team win did they win four championships that they did? They didn't get the five, right?
15, 17, 18. And so hold on. So 22. In that dynasty, it was just
they did.
Yeah, just the but Iggy wasn't even there at that point. I think he was already done by 2022. Unless he was on the bench.
He was on the bench. He was on the bench. No, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
So good for him.
But like, yeah, I just long story short, Iguodala will always be sort of completely unsung as a guy on that team who did so much. Yeah. He played point guard a lot of the time, brought the ball up. He was one of their most versatile defenders. He was a big reason why they were incredible, you know, defensively that whole time. The fact that he was able to / willing to, at the height of his career, come off the bench and be fine with that and thrive in that role was amazing. Yeah. He hit big shots for them, even though he was never known as a 3-point shooter, like, you know, so many times throughout the playoffs. And yeah, he was just so pivotal and important to everything that they did. And fun tidbit, we're talking about him on January 28th, courtesy of Basketball Reference here. It's his birthday today, just turned 41.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Iggy. Second favorite Iggy behind Azalea.
There you go.
Nick Young's favorite as well. Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to say.
D'Angelo. The other thing too. I mean, I'm glad he's getting his jersey retired. I mean, thinking of him as a Warrior, like he's always going to be that in my mind. But I'm also always, you know, speaking of the dunk contest, I'm always going to think of him partly as a Sixer as well. He had so many great years there. More underrated years, yes. Robbed of the dunk contest. The one that AI threw off the stanchion or whatever you call it behind the backboard. That's still one of my favorites ever. And he was just such a freak athlete. He had one of the most sort of, for a guy of that talent, he had one of the most unique careers I think you could possibly have, a really long one. Where you know, he built up the accolades, the finals MVP. I think that was deserved in the moment. I understand you look back on it and it's like, well, Steph was more important. Of course he was, but Iggy played a huge role in that one. Only one time All-Star, which is kind of crazy to me, but a lot of long lists for defensive player of the year. He was always kind of in that mix. Never fully broke through. Sixth man of the year as well when he was with the Warriors. So yeah, one of my favorite role guys ever. I think well deserved. And shout out Iguodala. Like Max Kellerman, I want Iguodala.
Yeah. Fate of the Earth. The Martians at the death ray pointed at us. I gotta say, I wanted to get into it, but I didn't want to, you know, overshadow it all and get on a tangent too early. But yeah, that 2015 Finals MVP, I actually am more okay with it because I feel like, again, we have to be unks already. We have to be the old heads that are telling these, you know, TikTok generation kids, like, just go back and see. Yes, LeBron did average 35, 15, and 12, and it was on another planet of greatness compared to even Steph at that point, who is in his first MVP season. That is all true, but if you watched every single one of those games, LeBron would have averaged 50 if it wasn't for Iguodala. Like Iguodala had several huge plays. I believe it was it was either Game 5 or Game 6. In the 2015 finals, when he did win the finals MVP, that he stripped LeBron right at the end of the game. He was going up for the jump shot. He gets the hand on the ball, wins the Warriors the game with that defensive play. And I think that just kind of goes to shit. Like that play alone, even though, you know, like we said, he goes on to win three more championships with the Warriors. They're one of the most dominant, if not the most dominant dynasty in NBA history, and is a huge part of all of that success. When I look back and I kind of think of Iggy, I always, for some reason, picture. I always remember, I don't know why it's so vivid to me, but I remember when he went from Denver in free agency to the Golden State Warriors, because it was kind of looked at as a weird move because, you know, there was this Steph Curry kid that, you know, looked like, you know, he had the hype, you know, maybe some potential, but hey, you can't shoot the three-pointer that much. And again, this is only 10 years ago, but Steph Curry did, like, and the Warriors did change the game on that side of things. And, you know, Iggy came in, was the starter. He was the top dog. He was the number one guy. Looked at as, you know, potentially that kind of all-star piece they could kind of start building around. And, you know, he never was going to be that number one guy, but, you know, had awesome seasons. Steph Curry, you know, works with him well. They break out. They draft Harrison Barnes. And like you said, he ends up coming off the bench, and it works. He was still part of the death lineup, you know.
I was going to say,
playing like
he
four.
Was a huge cog of that death lineup. Like, people will always forget about him as well. And obviously when KD got there, you know, sort of transformed. But you can't have the death lineup without him. He's the type of guy you need, the classic Warriors player who does a little bit of everything.
So I really like it. I think that like you said, one of the most interesting career trajectories and arcs. Cause again, like in Philly and even early Denver, like, he was just yamming on everybody, never had the jump shot that never developed. It's so funny to me that, you know, he has so much success on like the greatest shooting team of all time. And he couldn't fucking shoot over 25% from deep, except for a couple games, you know, you just catch fire randomly, but, overall, definitely a deserving jersey retirement, with the Warriors. I do think that, you know, a lot of people do underrate him as a player that didn't get to watch him kind of go all the way through. And I know there's lots of guys that we probably talk about, like when I go on a tangent about Dave Bing. So there are guys who watched him play in the 70s and the 80s and can tell me that I'm an idiot. But this is, one that I think we can stand on and say, you know, much respect to Iggy, even though fuck the Warriors and that entire run that they had.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Shout out Iggy. It's well deserved, 100%.
Well, let us know what you guys remember about Iggy. Let us know how you feel about the Rising Stars roster or lack thereof. Do you know who Dink was? Let us know. And as well as give me your De'Aaron Fox trade hypothetical situations.
Jimmy Butler, yeah. Send us your trade machine screenshots.
Yes, and how would you calm down Jimmy Butler in a situation like this? Let us know. Is it a herbal tea? Is it a back massage, a kiss on the forehead? Let us know.
You need Rachel Nichols. She's the only one who can calm down.
Yeah, get him in there. But let us know at Big Dog Ball Talk, X, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, for all you old heads out there. Give us a follow, and we'll be back on Friday. But until then, this is Matt Eckhart, Jordan Fleagle, Big Dog Ball Talk. And as my good friend Jordan always says,
I love chocolate milk, man. Shout out chocolate milk. Sometimes I forget about chocolate milk. Was in the grocery store today. Saw it. Picked it up. Lots of protein in chocolate milk.
Yes.
Delicious snack. Shout out chocolate milk.